ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody. My goodness, you know, you take a week off and you can't remember where your buttons are or whatever's going on. How are you, everybody? Welcome to the show. This is Adventures in Truth Livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I'm thrilled that you're here. Welcome. And we're going to have an amazing show today. I'm excited to welcome back to the show Bill McKenna, who is the founder of Cogna Movement. And we're going to talk about awakening. We were talking and just kind of exploring this idea of awakening. We hear it a lot in the spiritual community. We hear it a lot, you know, kind of all going around. And I thought, you know, it might be fun to talk about because there's so many elements to it. And I don't think it's a like what you know, it's not a one-hit wonder. This is an evolutionary process. And I see the awakening is kind of the awakening is there's a beginning point, and I think it keeps evolving. I was just looking because I wanted to say I always like to look at what how things are defined according to the mass consciousness. And spiritual awakening is an awakening of a dimension of reality beyond the confines of ego. The ego is our exclusive sense of self or the I. This awakening occurs when, for whatever reason, the ego somehow lets go so that the higher self and spirit or spirit can arise within. So that's an interesting platform or a place to start with the conversation. I think it's going to be a fun conversation. So I'm glad you're here. If you have been with us before, you can watch us on E360 TV Live. You can check us out on YouTube Live, and we are currently on Facebook Live as well. If you go to the Facebook, to Adventures in Truth Facebook page, you can interact with the show and ask Bill and I questions or leave comments, and we'll respond to them while we're on the air. But if you're on any of those places in Facebook or YouTube, please subscribe and like and share. You can share the window and you can watch this anywhere that you share it on Facebook. So we love that you're here and excited to share the show with you. So before we dive in, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back, I think. Yes. All right, just take a minute here. I want to talk about my book, Fear is a Choice, and just let you know it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and IndieBound and pretty much anywhere you can order a book. You can get it as and Kindle as well. Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love is a powerful book that changes your relationship with fear. And that happens because we go through the evolution in three stages of how fear is sort of evolved into the human experience, and then specifically how fear we use fear in our own experience, and then how you can change that relationship with fear so that as you move into the world, you are embracing your opportunities and recognizing that fear can be a tool to guide you to understanding more about yourself. But ultimately, changing the relationship with fear changes everything. So www.fearsachoicebook.com, you can head there and learn all about the book. There's videos there. There's links to ordering the book. But I think you'll find it's a pretty incredible experience, and it will change your relationship with fear, which will change so much about what's happening in your life and create space for what we're talking about today, which is awakening, because that awakening process can happen in fear. So learning how to change that relationship is everything. Again, you can order a copy by going to www.fearsachoicebook.com. And pretty cool, right? So Now we're going to transfer over here and talk about one other quick thing before we dive in, and that is the movement. And y'all are with me on this one. This is the year of conscious creation from my perspective. And I call it that because I want us all to begin to look at the world from the perspective of recognizing that our perception of the world is a reflection of how we see it, meaning whatever you're seeing is your perception. And I want to help to shift that perception if it's not fully embracing all of the goodness of you and the world that you live in and the world that you create on a daily basis. We are 7.5 to 8 billion unique sparks, unique worlds inhabiting one planet. And the reason I say it that way is because no one can live your life for you. So you have to make choices about your life and living your life in coming from places that are without fear, coming from places that are strengthened by whatever spiritual foundation you are creating. My world is good is a powerful statement that's simply about a neutral, positive statement that you bring to your world. And that helps to infuse a perception of your world in your world. And we as collective, then as each of us begins to carry that energy, we create this unity of energy. And I think that what happens over time is we create a tipping point in the mass consciousness. So all of the intensity and the negativity that we've been experiencing and have been unfolding, we can kind of shift and move to a different place and begin to see the goodness in our world again and in the world at large again, but starting in our world, finding that goodness. So my world is good is a great way to do that. So we're going to take one more quick break. We're going to come back. Bill's going to come on. And we're going to dive into this topic. It's going to be a pretty awesome topic today. So here we go. And we are back. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good to see you.
Thank you for putting up with all my pre-show fun. How are you? Good to see you again.
Excellent. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Guys, if you haven't met Bill, Bill McKenna, I'm going to take a minute here to share a little bit about your background. Bill is a marathon runner, a martial artist, a helicopter pilot, and former adrenaline junkie turned spiritual teacher. Bill has pioneered groundbreaking method for creating massive change and shifting perspective and raising consciousness, and that is called the Cogno Movement. He's the author of The Only Lesson and of course, the founder of this Cogno Movement, which he's going to talk with you about a little later. And we're all excited to have you on the show again to bring your and my unique perspectives together and have a wonderful conversation about awakening. So I threw out a definition because I like to kind of see where things are with the masses as far as how it's defined. What are your thoughts about that definition and the whole, you know, the idea of awakening? Do you have any thoughts about that?
I have a lot of thoughts. My first thought is that it's varied. People have awakenings in different ways. And you know, people have had awakenings from looking at a flower or a mandala or a visitation or through forgiveness, you know, or an injury. You know, there's so many people have had awakenings through nearly dying.
Yeah.
So, it doesn't happen just one way. But I think my interesting thing that I really have encountered is that it's not just like I'm thinking something or I have a realization, mm-hmm. but it's actually in your body. People have visceral, physical experiences with these awakenings. And they're different. There are four different people. They awaken in different ways.
I like that. I think it speaks to something that I have kind of been saying all along, which is this journey is very individual. While we are here as a collective in form, that, you know, even what I was talking about with the movement, the idea that we're 7.5 billion worlds inhabiting one planet, there are all these humans that are interacting but our experiences are so unique and so individual. And so I think this topic is important because I have experience, and I'm sure you probably have too, as you've worked with people or even been in different aspects of the community, that there's a little bit of a pressure sometimes that I think people feel about this awakening thing, it becomes a pushed thing instead of a natural progression. And I know in Eastern philosophy that when they talk about awakening, it's never about seeking the awakening. You know, it's like, if you put your attention and you seek it, you will not find it. Because that's not how the process works. It's actually a leveling up process, as you know, almost like when you release a certain aspect of limitation or you encounter a new paradigm of a way of understanding your life and your world and the way you come into the world differently. It's subtle in how it shows up, but the impact is ridiculously profound, I think. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, I would agree. The ridiculously profound part is the unexpected. That is kind of, at least in my experience, it's like you don't expect that. You get more than you bargain for. But another way that I like to look at that same thing is that we simply are changing our understanding. We have a certain understanding. For me, it was anger, resentment, you know, and the understanding is that you know, I had every right to be angry and resentful, you know, mm-hmm. and that it was right and just. And then the shift in understanding that actually maybe something like forgiveness actually would be in your own selfish best interest. Mm. And the paradigm shift and the new understanding, and with these new understandings, there's the piece of chocolate, if you will, a jujube. Mm-hmm. There's a benefit in the new understanding.
Always. Yeah. I like that. We're going to dive more deeply into that, and we're going to get into some of the details of our own personal experiences, which is what led to this conversation, because we come at it from similar places, but our experiences in coming into it are vastly different. And so we're going to have that conversation right after we take a moment to focus. I think especially with this topic, it's a good thing to get all of our energy lined up, because again, I think a lot of people have a lot of questions or a lot of thoughts about, and I'd like to incorporate that energy into our conversation so that as we peel back the layers, we're experiencing and helping others to understand this as deeply as we possibly can. So I'm going to send you to the green room for a few minutes. We're going to have a little That's meditation great. Process. And we'll be right back. And you are, or you'll be right back. All right. So let's take this moment to focus. So I took a little time off it was wonderful, and coming back in, I'm excited to be here and ready to get my energy aligned with all of you as well. So I like to put my money where my mouth is, in that I encourage you to have a good foundation of daily practice and also to work with the breath. So as a part of the show, I take a short segment just to bring us all into an alignment. And so what I want you to do is just to take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And I'm going to ask you to breathe in that pattern as we go through this process, in through the nose, out through the mouth, regardless of whether you're focused breathing or whether just relaxed breathing, in through the nose, out through the mouth. And I want you to get settled in where you are, and I want you to feel yourself, feel into your body, get present in your body, wherever you are, whether you're sitting or standing or laying down, and just allow your eyes to close, allow yourself to become internally focused. And I want you to become aware as you're breathing. I want you to be aware of your breath. I want you to be aware of how you breathe. You don't have to do anything about it. I just want you to become conscious of how you breathe when you're not directed to breathe. Notice how high it is in your chest or how low it is in your belly. Notice, is it two-dimensional or does it expand three-dimensional? Do you take a deep breath or do you take a shallow breath? Notice all of those things about the way that you breathe, because the more you become conscious of that process, the more you learn to control and manage energy, because ultimately breath is that energy. It is that life force. It is that chi and that prana. So as you take in that energy, you can begin to learn how to really align with that energy and how to manage that energy by learning to manage the breath. So keeping that focus, keeping that intent inside, I want you to become aware of your field. And your field is the energy that surrounds you, all around you. This is the field. This is you emanating into the world. Just become aware of your field. Notice, maybe you can see the ends of it. Maybe you can't. Maybe it feels dense to you. Maybe it feels light to you. Just observe what you're experiencing as you observe your field. And then as you observe your field, I want you to notice that there are things that sit in your field, energy, denser pockets of energy that are laying in your field. And those are things that we have attached to, things that we kind of grasp and hold on to. Sometimes it could be something like a shopping list. Other times it's going to be trauma. Sometimes it's going to be an emotional situation. Other times it's going to be a belief system. Sometimes it's a combination of all of those, and those can be a little denser and thicker. But what I would just want you to be aware of it, because we all are attending to things in our energy, even if it's just the peripheral of dog sounds, car sounds, music in the background. Notice what you're attending to. And then I want you to consciously, from this place deep in your heart, in the center of your being, I want you to consciously call your energy into your body. I want you to let all those things that it's connected to, just let them go. If they're important, they'll be there when you release your energy out again. But I encourage you to just take now, pull that energy into the center of your chest, into your heart. Just, I want you to experience the inside of you. I want you to experience the internal experience of you. And so as you bring that consciousness into your body, I want you to let it explore as it goes up and through your head. Explore that brain of yours. Explore the fluid around the brain. Explore the space behind your eyes. Explore down through the neck and feeling all of this musculature and the veins and the arteries. And trace down your brain from the brainstem right into the spinal cord, and let your consciousness run down the spinal cord. And be aware of all of the nerves that are coming off the spinal cord, and the fluid that surrounds it and protects it, and the bone that's there, the spine, keeping that vital, vital stream of life force flowing through you constantly. And then as you expand that awareness internally, notice your organs. Be in your chest and feel your chest, feel your lungs and your organs. Again, this is not going to be necessarily as tangible as you're used to, but you're in your internal space. Just let yourself be led by the impressions that you get as you let your consciousness roam around the inside of your body. And continuing to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth as you relax, as that consciousness helps you to relax and settle into your body and settle into this moment. And as you become present in this moment, I want you to begin to focus your breath now. We're going to focus into a counted breath process. We're going to inhale in through the nose to a count of four. We're going to count to a count of four. And at the top, we're going to rest in that fullness. And then we're going to release from the mouth, breathing out through the mouth as you release to a count of six. And then at that count of six, we're releasing that long so that we're purging the deepest parts of the lungs and releasing all the old energy and breath so that we make space for all of that new vital life force coming back into the body. And then at the bottom, after you've purged all that energy and air out, you're going to rest in that emptiness for a moment, in that void for just a moment. And then you engage the lungs and consciously pull in that new life force. So here we go. We're going to focus now as we inhale through the nose, inhaling 2, 3, 4, and we're holding in fullness. Good. And then we're breathing out 2, 3, 4, pushing it out 5, 6. Good. Feel that emptiness. Be in the moment of that complete emptiness. And now engage again, inhaling 2, 3, 4, feeling full, feeling fantastic, feeling that great sense of fullness, and then choosing to release it and surrender it by letting go of the breathing through the mouth. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, completely void now, into the emptiness, purging, being in that complete empty space for just a moment, and re-engaging as you inhale. 2, 3, 4, feeling full, good, feeling peace, and then completely surrendering and releasing it from the mouth. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, as we sit in the void and we rest in that void. And I want you to continue this process on your own now. Continue that breath as you inhale, feel that 360-degree expansion as you inhale, completely filling as full as you can, getting to that rich, full, wonderful place, and then relaxing the body at the top, relaxing in that fullness as you surrender it, and breathing from the mouth, surrendering to and letting it go until you reach the bottom, until you reach the end of the breath, and then be in that space for just a moment. So you experience the spectrum and continue as you inhale. Good. Feeling that expansion, reaching the top, and then conscious and relaxed release as you let it all go and come down to that space at the bottom again and being and relishing in the emptiness. And as you continue that cycle, take in these words and just feel them in your system. Feel them in your body. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. And feel that powerful I am bursting from your heart as you surrender and release your field again, letting the field expand out to its natural state. That's cleansed now, that you've opened and purified with your breath, with your focus, with your intention. And be now fully present in this moment with us as I bring Bill back in to join us as we carry on this powerful conversation about awakening.
Beautiful meditation,
Bill. Thank you, brother. All right. So we were at the beginnings of kind of definition, and we immediately got into the discussion of the levels of the experience and the intensity of the transformation that goes on around the awakening. So I would like just to kind of talk in more real practical terms, and I'm going to let you start us off in just sharing. Let's talk about the first part you remember of your own transformational awakening experience, and why do you label it that way? What is it about that experience that was that awakening to you?
Well, it wasn't something...
It's a loaded question.
Right? Yeah, that wasn't something I was prepared for. I didn't really know anything. I mean, I had no idea about any of this stuff, nor was I really interested. So it just kind of happened to me. Mm-hmm.
Or for you?
For me, right? And it started with there was kind of a long lead up to it, but ultimately it started with forgiveness. I had a kind of a Lemony Snicket's type of series of unfortunate events that led me to consider forgiveness. I did it selfishly. You know, I knew somebody who was highly intuitive, and that person, I wanted to understand them better. So I read a bunch of books about intuition, and all the books said, you know, if you forgive, you know, if you want connection with that realm, right, the psychic realm, the big block is resentments, you know, because it's low frequency. And the intuition is out of love and high frequency. So I was like, and they said, well, you know, you could either have your resentments or you can have your intuition, you know, make a choice. So I was like, gosh, you know, I could really profit from that. I think I'll forgive because I ain't going to get nothing out of it, you know, the other side. So I did that. And basically, they also said, you know, put your attention up here on the top of your head. And you know, at the same time, you know, forgive everybody. And I was just ill prepared for that. I had something, I didn't know anything about energy or the energy systems. You know, the word chakra was foreign to me. And anyway, turns out we have these energy centers in our body. And there's one here, it's called your crown. Anyway, that opened up and very, very suddenly, and remained that way. And that was, it was kind of later on to find out that that was kind of the goals of the yogis, right? To, you know, ultimately open their crown. Well, anyway, I hadn't had the rest of everything kind of lit up or awakened, but that opened up. And a lot of information. And at the same time of information, a lot of euphoric type feelings. And to the point of, it was like being drunk, being on it was quite physical to the point where I was like, well, I need to talk to a doctor, you know, medical. I've got a medical situation here, you know, that's, because you wake up kind of drunk, go to sleep kind of drunk, you know, it's just like goes on and on and on. But anyway, I found the appropriate teachers.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I think that's the interesting thing. And it's different. And as we talked about, it seems to be different. You know, I've had different experiences personally. I was, as you were talking, I was also trying to think back to, I know a couple key places when I went through, when I went to go train in Higher Brain Living originally, I went to the training never having had experienced the process because it wasn't anywhere in the country yet. But the impact that I had seen during a demonstration that I attended in San Diego was quite profound. So my first experience of the process was on a table in a room full of 100 people going through a training program. And it was an extraordinary unfolding that went on in that particular situation, went on for an entire 10 days because it kept the first experience kind of cracked something open in me. Because those of you who don't know that system, it's a process of activating the energy system in a way that stimulates the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which opens up a greater connection to possibility and potential and all the higher levels of experience that we have or have available to us. So in that particular experience, I went through all kinds of over the course of the week, I went through a water experience. I went through an earth experience. I went through a fire experience, and I went through an air experience. And I went through an experience of birthing a universe that was just, I think after the fourth or fifth day, I thought I was going crazy. I remember sitting on the table talking to one of the facilitators, sobbing because I had another envision of things that I'm going, what is going on with me? I've never had these experiences before. And suddenly I'm having them one right after the other, after the other, but they're laced with, it's not a linear experience. I think you referenced that before. It's a whole body, whole being kind of experience that is difficult to explain in minutiae because it's very deeply personal to my way of experiencing it. Meaning I don't know that someone having my experience would have the same experience because it's all my energy, my field, my history, my DNA, my lifetimes, my all of it coming together in that one spot, in that one moment, and kind of flipping the script on what I understood myself to be prior to that moment. And so that began, and I started there because that was the most obvious one, but there were many times prior to that that led me to that moment, because that moment led to many other moments, which then led to an experience in Peru, which was a whole Kundalini awakening. And that was a whole other level of experience that cracked a lid off of another, another level of experience. And I keep saying that word, but I it's hard not to kind of get caught in the cycle because it's what it feels like. It sort of loops and then it loops again and then it loops again and or spirals again, whichever way you want to go with it. It's a profoundly transformational deal and a deeply personal one that takes a lot of time to integrate. And that's something that I think is really important to the process as well. Cause I know when you and I have talked about your experience, it took you quite a long time to integrate that experience. Did it not?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And, it is so overwhelming that you're barely functional, you know, you're going through life and you're functioning and, you know, paying the bills and doing stuff, but it's to integrate the experience takes time. It also is really good to have, you know, good teachers and books that are going to be appropriate for you. You know, you can do it on your own. You can certainly flail about. I am, I had heard from other people that had been through awakenings that they had ended up in, you know, the county mental hospital. And really, they didn't belong there. They were merely having this spiritual awakening. And once they, they got out of that, you know, they checked in or whatever, because the family didn't understand what was going on, checked them out, you know, and they could get a little bit of help on guidance on how to control this energy and what it is, because it's something completely foreign. Then, you know, life starts to, you know, come into a new normal. And as you so aptly put, is that the evolution, there's another new understanding and there's another new level of actual physical experience in the body. So it's not just like in your head or I'm having a vision.
Right.
You're having an experience in the body. And
visceral
realizations. It is both at the same time.
That's my favorite word, visceral. It's a visceral experience. It's
yes,
a whole body, visceral. Every cell, every aspect of your experience. Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't have expected that.
I think it's interesting as you're talking again, I'm thinking about the perspective we come from and how your initial experience was kind of a shocking one. And my initial experience was not in the same way shocking. It was a bit overwhelming because I think it really depends on where you're coming from. Because I think some people get shocked into because they're trying to force an experience. I know particularly there's many people out there that are craving this Kundalini awakening and getting the Kundalini running and doing the meditations and trying to force the experience. And it's a dangerous thing because what you don't know can hurt you greatly. And I don't mean that from a fear perspective. I just mean it from a recovery perspective. What I went through in Peru over the course of three ceremonies in that process was almost more than I could bear as a human being, and I wasn't resisting any of it. You know what I mean? And I know, as you described, you probably weren't necessarily resisting, but you were coming from a different place than I was. You weren't actively being a seeker at that stage in your life, if I understand correctly.
No.
And so the crash was that tearing of reality.
Yeah.
Is way more intense because for whatever reason in your process, that shock needed to bring you to a new thing. And for me, I think it was still I don't know if I would call it a shock, but it's definitely an overwhelm to the system.
It is. And that energy, you know, there's the traditional way that, you know, in the East that they see, oh, your Kundalini starts at the base and then it rises up and that's how your whole thing goes. Well, actually, it starts different places for different people. Some people will have a heart awakening, mm-hmm. you know, or they'll have their crown, or it'll start in their base, the base of the torso. And then they feel this churning in the base, and then it comes up through the body. When it hits its blocks, which for whatever reason the energy comes up and there's a block somewhere. For me, I remember, well after this happened, then the Kundalini started happening. It was years later that happened. And it wasn't through, you know, all of those, you know, things that people try to do to stimulate. It was very, very simple. Mm-hmm. And that was, I was feeling a sense of love for my students. And I was teaching them how to love themselves, like a feeling, as a feeling, and forgiving themselves and loving themselves and holding kind of that, you know, I got a good feeling about you. And I'm just going to, you know, that I don't want anything. It's unconditional. And with that, it started going. So I guess, you know, that it is that same energy of the universe, which is love, right? It is what is underlying all. So if I was to recommend somebody, the easiest way to stimulate that is to hold a true feeling of love for another, mm-hmm. and support them in loving, forgiving themselves, forgiving other people, and being in that state will stimulate it when it's really sincere.
Yeah.
And you won't have to really do much, but even so, for me, it hit my solar plexus. I still remember this. I was on a boat in Coronado, and all of a sudden it was like I was at a dock. There's no waves or anything, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, projectile vomiting. Bah.
Wow.
So I was running out, and it was like, wow. Anyway, that cleared eventually.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have a couple minutes with Bill. Bill's going to talk about cognitive movement and the amazing work that he's doing. And then we're going to dive further into this conversation and just talk about a little bit more about these paradigm shifts and just talking about our experience so that you can see that as we share our experiences, they're vastly different, yet there's a lot of similarities. But that's the beauty of the awakening experience, is that it is always ultimately aligned to you. So that experience is all authentic of you and all of you coming forward. And that's what makes it so profound, I think. But we'll talk about more about that. On the other side of the break. So we'll be right back right after this.
Science of Transformation method. And I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. All right, turning it over to Bill. Bill, the show is yours.
Oh, okay. We're gonna talk a little bit about cognomovement. So, I'm Bill McKenna. I'm the founder of cognomovement. So, cognomovement is a simple technology that I developed. That it through all kinds of training that I got, I ended up having some new realizations, and these are all based in neuroscience. I know we've been talking a lot about spirituality, but what I discovered is a way to the intersection of science and spirituality and how to merge this to get a result of creating emotional amnesia, craving amnesia, changing your mind about things that you've been stuck on. And what I had discovered is that your stuck thoughts can be transformed very simply with movement. So we utilize your physical body and this ball to create change very quickly. In a nutshell, your subconscious expresses itself through your physical body as a feeling. And you don't even realize it, but you get a feeling. I'm angry, I hate this person, or I love them, or whatever. And with this feeling, or I'm got to do this, I have to do that, this job is the only job for me, I hate my boss, whatever. With the feeling that's in your body, it stimulates a thought, and then the thought goes back and stimulates the feeling. What we do with cognomovement is break that cycle to make you free. You'll get all new realizations, and your life and relationships can change really in just one session. We have cognomovement practitioners all over the place. You can get them, you can go to cognomovement and not only get a practitioner session, but you could actually do it yourself. We have a basic program where you get your balls and a training program, videos online that do take you through the entire process and troubleshooting and that sort of thing. The effects of this are really very quick. One session, sometimes as little as 15 minutes, maybe it's a bit more, but imagine that you simply don't feel that way anymore. You just have an emotional amnesia. It works with cravings, and you have a craving amnesia as well. Last thing I'll mention is that we have utilized this because this particular show is around spirituality. We decided that we would utilize this because it's so quick to start to clear out all of the shame of a lifetime, the humiliation, the grief, the guilt, the resentment, the blame, all of those negative emotions of your entire life. And we have it in a multi-day seminar that you go in and clear out all of your anger. And what happens is that it's a very condensed 3-day program, and you are, by the end of it, gone through an incredible transformation. You're not the same when you leave. And if you imagine all of those negative feelings of your life, the people that you resent, the job, the house, the financial situation, if you imagine that it was all gone, that you just didn't feel that way anymore, what would your life be like? Well, that's what it's called CognoConscious, and it's a seminar that we put on. It's coming up, I think, end of next month, April.
End of next month?
You can find out about that.
Great. Yeah, and if you let me know when I do the thing, I can put dates in for you too. I can tell you guys, Cogno Movement, www.cognomovement.com, where you can find out more about Bill and his work with Liz. And I did have a spontaneous session with Liz when she was on the show a couple of weeks ago before the show. And I can tell you that it was pretty extraordinary because, to Bill's point, and this is going to sound funny because I don't remember what we went after, but that's the whole point. We went into the session and we were talking prior to the session and Liz said, well, hey, let's do this. And so we focused on what it was that whatever was going on in my energy at the time. And we did the process. And when she came on the show a couple of days later, she asked me about it. And I couldn't remember what it was we did. I literally couldn't remember. I knew we had a session, but I couldn't remember why we had the session. It was extraordinary. I mean,
the biggest problem in their life. And I always tell them, bring your biggest problem of your life and do the process. And they forget. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
They can do it on their own. They can get it all on the website.
Cool. www.cognomovement.com. Guys, check out Bill's work. It's extraordinary, and I think you'll find it very impactful. So as we dial back into this awakening, we still got about 10 minutes left to really dissect this puppy. So one of the things that I thought a lot about is this idea of realizing that you can't make awakening a hunting expedition. It just doesn't work that way. You know, we get so focused in, I think, in spirituality, and particularly from my experience in the spiritual movement, in that there are sort of these guideposts to the spiritual experience. And part of that is the idea of having an awakening. And so people tend to strive for that experience and then become disappointed and frustrated because they don't understand why it's not happening, or they don't understand why they're not getting what they're looking for. Because to the point of the definition and to the point of my understanding, it's about a change in the way you use your ego. And when you surrender those aspects of the ego, or when it's time to surrender those aspects, maybe more to Bill's case, maybe there was some aspects of ego that it was like, hey, time to pay attention. This isn't serving you. But I think the awakening still happens in some fashion the same way, in that when it shows up, it's showing up because you've prepared the soil for it in your own experience. Meaning you didn't, what am I trying to say here? It's the idea of it's not hunting. You can't go after it. You have to go through the process of, you're going through the process of understanding who you are, building that relationship with self. Maybe you're starting to build a foundation for understanding life in a different place than you've always understood it before. But it's having to take those steps, I think. I'm kind of getting lost in the concept here. Maybe you can help me, Bill, with
yes,
you kind of agree.
See if this resonates with you. Your curriculum that you came here to complete in this lifetime is actually what's in front of you. It is all of the situation, financial, living situation, relationship situation, everything about it, health, you name it, that is your curriculum. And guess what? It's yours. It's not somebody else's. So your awakening, when he says it's not a hunting expedition, you don't got to go very far to learn the spiritual lesson that you're here to learn in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. It's right in front of you. It's what's going on in your life. For me, my experience was that, and I was blind to it, was that the resentment built up of a lifetime of resentment, that holding on to those resentments, that was the fertile soil that I had developed for this to take place. That was my curriculum. Bill, you're going to have an experience. Somebody's going to do some things to you, Bill, and it's not going to be so good for you. So you're going to have a lot of feelings, and then your curriculum, should you decide to accept it, is to, go to the next stage, right, is to release. So for each and every one of us, it's right in front of us. That is, you don't have to go to India or Tibet and be in a cave. It's right in front of you. It's in your own house. Yes. It's at your job. it's right in your yard.
Yes. Yes, I love that. And I love that perspective because, again, I wrote down when you were talking was, it's the difference between life happening for you and life happening to you. And that when you recognize that what you have created, you've created for your benefit, even if you think it doesn't feel good, you've created it to move you to a new place. And how cool is it that we get to experience that in that way? But I think it takes that first experience to finally recognize that. Like, to me, that's where you finally go, oh my God, I really am doing this. I really am creating this. I really am. And you may not grasp all of the parts and pieces of it yet, but there is an awareness, that visceral kind of understanding that you go, oh, I'm no victim. Oh my gosh, all of this has led me to here without any of that. You know, I talk about in the course of different shows, I've talked about regret. And I know that sounds like a weird thing to bring into the middle of awakening, but it's really not, because one of the things that I've discovered in my life is that I could not go back anywhere in my life and say, geez, I wish I hadn't done that. Because I did what I did with what I had from where I was in the moment I did it. Mm-hmm. Right? I did it. I did everything I chose in any moment. I chose because it was what I thought I had available to me at that moment. Now, of course, hindsight's amazing, but what value is it to regret where you've been when where you've been is what brought you to where you are? Because you can't be where you are if you didn't go where you went to begin with. Woof, that sounds convoluted, but it's really not.
It is. So this is a very interesting topic, and so many people suffer with a regret and also guilt. We made the best decision that we could at that time.
Yes.
And everyone is doing that. You know, they may succumb to lust, greed, anger, resentment, fear, you know, but it was the best choice that they could have made in that situation and that at that time.
Yes.
As crazy as that sounds, but that is our part of our curriculum, right? Yeah. And to let it go and know that you're here to simply change your mind. Like, oh, okay. Well, if you do have guilt, then okay, are you doing that anymore? No? Okay, let it go. You learned your lesson. You know, guilt only serves you for about 3 seconds, and regret, there's nothing we can't do. So just to let go frees yourself. And with that, you may get, right now, if somebody's on this call listening and they do that, truly let go, Mm-hmm. They may feel this rush of heat. And that is that beginning of that awakening.
Yeah. There's all kinds of different experiences that could be had there. But I love what you said about it, and just recognizing that it's all part of the package, that when you shift out of that. So the awakening thing that we're talking about, it's not a hunting expedition. The evolution that you choose to go on by being a seeker, by being someone who knows that there's more to this life experience that you haven't quite found yet, that yearning, that desire, that momentum is what leads you down the path to the things that are looking to be changed in your consciousness, particularly with regard to the relationship of your ego and your soul. We come in and trained into an experience that the ego is what it's about. We're supposed to fight. We're supposed to push. We're supposed to drive. We're supposed to do all of this supposed to stuff to have a fulfilling life. And if at any point, and at some point, anyone who's on a path comes to the realization of, yeah, no, that doesn't fly. In whatever version you have of that, which you, as you described, could be everything from guilt and shame to anger, resentment, can be all kinds of a spectrum. Some people find it's a joyful experience. But initially, I think it's a little more challenging because literally it's ripping the fabric of reality as you understood it and creating a paradigm shift in your reality that really turns things topsy-turvy for a little bit, because everything you thought you knew doesn't apply once you cross the threshold. And that continues. It's like a stair step that never changes. So you go through an awakening, you go and you have an understanding and you gain this clarity about who you are in your life, and you start to apply that energy in your life, and then you encounter another doorway. And then you get to say, okay, I'm surrendering some more. And then you jump through that doorway and the paradigm that you were living in completely flips on its head again. And you're going, wait a second. I spent 5 years coming to the place of understanding about my ego. And then I crossed this threshold and it's completely flipped from what I thought I understood. But the difference is you're in a completely different place when you understand it.
And it's better and better.
And better and better. And that's the truth. Bill, we're down to about a minute and a half, and right, we could carry this conversation on, I'm sure, for another hour, because there's so much to it. But take a minute here, if you would, and just from your viewpoint, from your vantage point in your own process, what would you share with our listeners today that you think would be of value to them in helping them to settle into their own experience and just allow awakening to unfold them?
Ah. Good question. Love it. First of all, I would say, like we already discussed, whatever's going on in your life, that is what you're here to deal with. And there are some real basic things that you can, basic lessons that we're here to learn. One of them is, if it's an outside thing where you're not having pretty bad feelings about somebody doing something, well, try these three words: is have I ever? Mm. And the essence of it. The first is going to be denial, and then just ask yourself that. Yeah. Let yourself see that where you have, and then simply change your mind. You know, let go, and I won't do that no more, right? I know how that feels now. Everything is a big return to sender. None of us get away from it.
Nope.
And lastly, I'd say forgive yourself and love you as a feeling. You're all right. You've done some stuff, but you're all right. And just let go. Let go, because it was just an experience to learn when you were here, and an experience to help you to change your mind. That's all.
Yeah. Beautiful. We are all here to evolve. That's why we're here.
Yes.
It may not look that way if you're looking out in the world and you're looking at different people's experiences. It's not your experience. You're here to evolve. You will evolve. The question is, will you evolve gracefully, or will you evolve a little more challengingly. And that just is a question of how much resistance you choose to put into the process.
Correct.
So in understanding, as we wrap this up today, the give yourself permission to have awakening and then let it go. Give yourself permission to say, just say to yourself, I'm moving toward my awakening, and then completely forget about it and just go about living your life, doing the things that you're doing, constantly striving to bring more love to your experience, to bring more joy to your experience, to bring more clarity to your experience. And in doing that, you begin to unfold that path, that script, as it were, that you brought to this lifetime. And you start to find that the path unfolds a little easier, and you're still going to have challenges. An awakening is not a threshold of you're free. It is in the grander scheme of things, but you've got to integrate that experience into the human experience, because that's why you're here. So let yourself have the experience and know that yours will be personally deeply satisfying, personally deeply stimulating, because it's going to touch every aspect of who you are and take you to a new place. But you're doing the taking, you're doing the movement, you're doing the allowing. So it's an interesting thing. But I hope we've been able to provide a little bit of insight into this for you today. We're running a little over time, so I got to kind of move us along here. But thank you all for being a part of the show. Bill, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate your insight and Cogno Movement, www.cognomovement.com. Make sure you check out Bill's work. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time on the show, guys. Thank you all for being here. Remember to share it with everybody. Bill, see you very soon. Thank you for being here, my friend.
Thank you.
See you on the other side. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescienceTransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.